Listen carefully. Can you follow me?
The creatures that have a counterpart, can they laugh?
Yes or no?
Can God laugh?
We have three forms. All below them have counterparts and they're pictures of God. We come to the three highest. Can an angel laugh? Does he have a counterpart? Can God laugh? Yes. Can man laugh? Does God have a counterpart? Does he? Yeah. No. Is he alone? Yet he can laugh. What about man? Can he love? Yes. Does he have a counterpart? No.
Oh, you see, Gina. Let's say he does not.
Lord God said it's not good for the man to be alone.
I will make him a corresponding dam.
Does the next verse record the creation of woman?
Does it?
No.
Absolutely no.
And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field. They came out of the same dirt man did. Do they have counterparts?
Can they laugh? And he brought them to man
to see what he would call.
Do you think he called man there and brought forth all the animals
to name the creatures? Was that his purpose?
Why did God bring every creature that lives in the universe and march it past Adam? He wanted man to feel what God had felt all eternity. He wanted man to stand there and say to man, here is everything living in the universe that is visible. There are three creatures above them all. Me, angel, and you. But you can love with your soul. I gave you the type of divine there pulsate within you, Adam, a comprehension of the power of the passion that is pent up in me.
Adam stood there
with his heartbreak.
They came by the tens, the hundreds, thousands of them there. Adam stood there, the image of God, the intensity of God, the emotions of God, the feeling of God, the desire of God reflected in him, for he was the image of God. And he stood there before every living creature that ever was a woman.
And he was.
And he walks. And watch. And the longing. And the burning grip.
And he kept on looking. And he kept on watching. And he kept on naming them. This one he might call ape. That one he might call giraffe. But there was one word that burned in his lips. Burned in his heart. It burned in his soul.
It was in the very passion of his makeup. It was there and it could not be denied.
There was one word he wanted to say and he couldn't. He couldn't say ish.
There wasn't another man.
But worse than that, he could see the lion come by and the lioness. He could see the tiger and the tigress. He could see the wolf and its mate.
And he stood there feeling God alone.
I'm ripping her the word.
Take.
Put it to palm on the word.
There is a verse of scripture that speaks with more pathos than any other in all of divine writ. And when Jesus spoke it, he spoke it out of the very bowels of his being. You've heard me say this before, but listen now in this context. Except a grain of wheat fall into the ground and die, it must abide. Oh. God had been alone. Here stands the picture of God living out the same drama, the same feeling, the same emotion, the same intensity. And he knows he's all alone. In a way, there is a failure of God here. He's alone. Brothers, what do you have? You've got the three highest creatures in the universe, and they don't look like any of the others. All the others can reproduce. Virtually all the others have a counterpart. Brother, sister, there are three. There are three. And none of them have a counterpart. But there's yet a strange thing here. One of them is visible. And two are invisible. And what is the nature of that which is visible? To have a counterpart. The nature of the invisible is to have no counterpart. Something is out of shape in God's uniform creation. The unseen is as it is, the seen as a counterpart. But there's one of the things that has no counterpart. Now, all I want you to understand is that there is a likeness to God in that creature-ish who stands there so much like the God who made him. The only one who can look up into the face of God and God can utter the word love and man can understand what he means. And both feel the same Alonius. I don't know if he had a conversation with Adam or not. It doesn't really matter. But if he did, it went like this. Adam. Did you find anything like you? And Adam had stood there and watched every creature walk by, probably beginning with the smallest and working to the largest, going from the littlest up to the highest life form coming past him. By the time he got to the end, his expectation must have been just about ready to break, if not go wild, hoping that there toward the end of that great sea of creation, living creation, there toward the end he might see one who was his own counterpart, like all the rest. And perhaps if there was a conversation, it went like this. Adam, is there something wrong? And with a deep loneliness, a word, where is my me? Where is my mind? Where is that like me that is like the lioness to the lion? There is something in me that is not getting expressed. There is love in me, and it has no place to go.
God said, Adam,
you're too much like me for this to be an easy thing. You're made in my image. The only difference is you're visible and I am invisible. But you're like me and I am alone.
And when something in the soul about to break,
perhaps Adam asked the question, is there nothing that can be done? And God says, I cannot create for you a helpmate, a correspondent, because I am this way and you are like me. I am one. You are one. I cannot create me because I am uncreatable.
Is there no one?
God gave an answer. I can take you, and I can take you out of you, and I can build you out of you, and you will be separate from you. Yet that you will have your life. Though you will be two, yet there will just be you. I will have to take that life out of you.
I don't know how to explain this. Let me see if I can.
No.
There is God and he is one. And all he can do with himself is separate himself here. And yet it is God. And yet in that separation, he can create. No. In that separation, there is cause to be a gender. Yet it is the same nature.
But there can only be one God. Therefore, it must come back.
And yet, in that cutting off, and that cutting away. And in that causing to be a gender, there is now a place for love to flow and to return.
Gene, I didn't understand that. Sister, I didn't understand it either.
Adam, I cannot create. I cannot create another you, while you. I can only take you out of you and Vil. And then there will be a place for that love to break forth.
And praise God, that other you.
Out of you has the passion of you. And the love of you, and can cast back to you the love that is in you.
I don't understand that.
But anyhow, there was one condition. You're going to have to die. And yet, Adam, frankly, you're only a type. Therefore, you will not die. You will only pipe by. I'm going to blow your minds, brothers. If there's only one who is alive, there is only one who can really die. I can type live, but I can't have the life of God. A cow doesn't have the life of God, is that true? It has only the picture. A brother, it can't die. It can only type die. Yeah. The only life that ever was died, you can be sure it was the only real death there ever was. Praise the Lord. Suffice it to say, God put Adam to sleep, which is a type of death.
Therefore, God put Adam
to sleep. And he did not create anything. He took Adam out of Adam. God took Adam out of Adam. And he built another Adam. Well, praise the Lord. What's an Adam? It was an Adamai. The gender had changed. When God reached into that man and pulled man out of man, love came with it. Passion came with it. Emotion came with it. The very essence of man came out. All that man was in that. Every feeling man had was there. And you know that man had as a reflection of every feeling God is God. Brothers and sisters, I want you to know this clearly. That Adam, who had just been put to sleep, knew what it was like to be alone. He knew aloneness that you and I cannot comprehend. I read a fascinating word when the first astronauts went to the moon. You know, two went down in a little vehicle and came back up. They didn't land on the moon. They just got close to it. Do you remember that? That was before the landing. They got just within a few miles and came back up. Do you recall that? Do you also remember that in that master vehicle that was going around how many men were left. And that vehicle went around the moon with one man in it.
What was the closest point that he was to another creature? How close? About 7,000 or 6,000, 7,000. I don't know what the orbit was. Around 6,000 miles to two human beings.
And from those two human beings, how far to the next human being?
235,000 miles. And this was the statement I read when he got on the other side of the moon. He was more alone than any man had been since Adam. Now, if you can imagine him there, you can imagine the loneliness that Adam knew. Walking up and down the face of this whole creation, brothers, it was like a vast, endless wasteland. With his voice echoing throughout eternity when he spoke, he had been alone. And God put him to sleep. And beating within the very breast of that man was love
that knew no
expression.
God. And Adamed another Adam. He built him a catapult.
And he took her by the hand.
God took Eve by the hand.
I don't know how pretty she was, but I'll tell you this, she's the most beautiful woman there ever was.
Do you know that? She was completely robed in light. She was flawless beyond comprehension. Beautiful. The word pure doesn't even get close.
Beautiful, holy, pure. God took her.
You don't know, brothers, what even that must have meant to God. For God had done something new. He had divided the image of God. And now the image of God had a counterpart. Do you understand?
God had never had a counterpart. But the image now had a counterpart.
Had a place to go.
But I am.
And Adam awoke out of his tight death. He awoke out of sleep.
May I say it this way? He stood up.
The very image and likeness of the essence and the sense and the being and feeling of God. He stood there, a being, a creature, capable of deep emotion and passion.
And he saw her. And for the first time, all the loneliness and all the aloneness had a place to go. And she was beautiful. And the love broke forth out of his being unto her, And she saw him, for she was his likeness, and the same passion welled up in her. I don't know what they did, but I know what I would have done. I would have embraced her.
Pray for the night.
A tone whom he could pour in the passion of his love.
Praise him.
Now,
there are only two creatures left to me, Reverse. Without a counterpart.
Who are they?
Can an angel have a counterpart? Can he love? Now answer me, in eternity past, can God have a counterpart?
Can he love? Speaking of jealousy, I don't know if God was jealous of Mare.
I tell you, if I had been God, I would have been jealous of Mare. For here was my very image, with one to love.
And all the universe seemed to scream out, God, you have pictured yourself in everything, and in everything that is alive, there is two. But you're still alone.
I ask again. Could the angels have a counterpart? Could they love?
Could they be seen? Were they visible?
Can God have a counterpart? No. Say no.
Can he love?
Is he visible or invisible?
Does God want a counterpart? Well,
God's a counterpart. God is a passion. God is a love. God is what can explain.
If I could explain it, I would explain it now. I want you to know that you and I have the type of it, but even because we're souls and because we're fallen and something of that love has been changed, but because we're souls, we have the type. But because we're fallen, it is not pure. There is love in God, more powerful, more passionate than anything that you or I can understand. It is a thought, and it is deep within his being, and it pulsates there and cries out for expression, and it is in his spirit, for he is spirit. I said to you earlier, I don't understand why. I cannot explain this, but there seems to be one great basic need. To have a counterpart, you must be visible.
And God is invisible. Any law? The angel is invisible and does not love.
And the angel has no counterpart and he has no problem. God can love. He is invisible, but he has no counterpart. Hallelujah. Brothers, he solved the problem.
We create something he could be visible in.
and he would become visible. He would begin the greatest love affair of time and eternity. For he would go to Earth, defying himself his counterpart. He would go looking for a counterpart upon whom he could unloose the passion of his love and let blow out a border freely.
And God altered his nature. God stopped being invisible. And he went to the highest visible form. That's why he created that visible form. He was after himself. Allah. A counterpart. He would divide his nature. And it would be one yet separate. He would divide the highest life there was in the universe. He would divide it so that he would have a place to pour that love. And that love could come back from that other which was he. Yet the gender is changed, yet it is he. That love could come back from that other and be poured upon him. Do you understand? Brothers, God wanted a counterpart upon whom he could pour out his deepest, deepest emotion. In order to do this, he had to become visible. In order to do this, he had to cease being God alone and had to enter into time and had to become a man. And God became a man.
And by the way,
don't you discount that one. You must not look at him the way you have looked before. Joel, would you please open the door? Do you know what he was?
He was young.
You know what else he was?
He was still alone. Do you know what else you are?
He was.
John the Baptist saw him.
And John the Baptist had a need.
Do you know what John the Baptist's need was? He had a very great need and an incredible need. Do you know what his need was? He had been standing on the Jordan River crying out, "Repent.
repent of your sins. What, therefore, did he need? He needed one who could take away the sin. Therefore, he saw. He saw a bachelor. He saw in heaven. And John the Baptist needed a savior. And he called him something. What did he call it? What? The Lamb of God who does what? The young man was standing under a big tree. And he was a patriot. And he despised the Romans. And he had a lot of thoughts under that fig tree. And his brother walked up to him and he said, "Come, we have found the Messiah." And in him he said, "Oh, that you had found the Messiah. How we need a Messiah." And he came to the Lord and he saw him. And what did Nathanael need? He needed a king. For he was a hot-blooded patriot for Israel. He was a good American citizen. He needed a king. And what did he say of Jesus Christ? What did he say? "You're the Messiah, the Son of God, the King of Israel." What did Peter need? He needed a God. And he looked to Jesus and he said, "Thou art the Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One, the Son of God." He needed a Messiah and a God. That's what they needed, and that's what they saw. Rick, what did Jesus need? He came to earth to find himself upon whom he could finally, after all eternity and all of time, could pour out. It's read the record. Read the record. John the Baptist called him the Lamb of God because that's what he needed. Nathanael called him the King of Israel because that's what he needed. Peter called him the Messiah because that's what he needed. But listen to the Lord Jesus Christ refer to himself. And in general, unless he is teaching some spiritual truth, when he refers to himself, he gives only two names to himself. Why? "I am the Son of Man." Do you know what that means? That means if mankind ever gave birth to its essence, to all that it really is, Jesus would be that essence. He said, "I am the Son of Man. I far abide and cease to be God. I am the man, and I have the passion of a man. The need, the longing of a man. I am the Son of Man. And obey. I am a man."
cold and fell one other.
Crap.
All other grooms have been a picture of that groom. There's not a groom who ever has lived or who lives now or whoever will that will be like that groom. Scories? Brothers, Scories?
Hey.
Beautiful. This is so wholesome.
Perfect.
Single. Young. And full of a love that had been tied up inside of his bionic breath free burning power. Was someone upon them? He was born with a fashion, the like of which my soul cannot couple. But if my spirit ever sees it, if my spirit ever sees it, God open eyes that are not in our heat. Ears that are not. And let us hear. God. Time. And his is not a type. Strong. With all the power of his being. And the passion of eternity behind it.
God.
Come. And
God
in Christ is
looking for a lover.
And brothers, upon that girl, upon that woman, he wishes to pour out bottomless oceans. He wishes to love her and make love to her and in a passion love her. Do you know who he fell in love with? He fell in love with you.
You fell in love.
He'll love you with an indescribable
Don't ask me to say he fell in love with the church. I'll not do it. God became a man and fell in love with me.
God fell in love with you. You must be the most frustrated lover of all recorded and unrecorded. Do you know why? Because you didn't know what you just heard to know. That
doesn't keep from making it true.
Doesn't matter how you feel about it.
Jesus sighed.
Young? Passionate? Scourging the universe for a come.
He found it in you.
And you know something else?
Ethan love.
He can love you. For you have something in you.
Can hear and feel that love.
Praise the living God. Somewhere deep inside your being is that same indescribable awe.
Money go. In line.
We didn't know.
Open the eyes of our spirit that we see who we are and behold your beauty, your holy. And your endless frustration.
God, at our side, who cried to the heavens with all the passion of our being, God!
Praise the Father low to me. Even so do I. Sit in the presence of my
Lord Jesus. We mean to be your bride. And we mean to love you. Lord, you must help us. For we didn't even know who we were. Oh my God, stir the depths of our spirit until there breaks out among us a depth of the exchange of the love of God. Have the desire of ages in our midst.
Amen.